Now, Bible transport, I've only thought, oh, you could probably think of some others, but we read of horses, we read of chariots, we read of camels, we read of donkeys. But most transportation in the Bible was walking. And can anybody tell me when the first time walking is mentioned in the Bible?
Genesis.
Apart from Tony, because he's a professional.
Genesis.
Sorry, Tony, you didn't answer anymore.
Genesis.
Genesis,
God walked in the
quiet of the evening. That's right. Adam and Eve heard God walking in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. So God walks. So there we go. So as walking. And there's lots of instances. You know, Abraham was told to leave the country, his own country, and go to a country that God was showing, which was eventually was Canaan, of course. There was Moses and the Israelites wandering around the desert for 40 years. I mean, for goodness sake, that was quite a trip, wasn't it? Then there was Elijah, which we'll have a look at in a minute, Beersheba to Horeb. Think of Mary and Joseph, Nazareth to Bethlehem. There's no donkey mentioned in the story, by the way. But anyway, there might have been a donkey. Think of the wise men 2 years later. They probably came on camels, as far as we know. But also, it can apply to us spiritually, can't it? Because it says in the Bible, Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And that's what we'll be trying to think about a little bit this morning. How is my walk? How is your walk with God? Are we far away from him or are we near to him? We're going to look at instances where both that is true. So we're going to look at three journeys. The Bible, by the way, is the account of one nation's walk with God, Israel. The whole Bible is about the nation of Israel and their walk with God. The three journeys we look at. First of all, look at Elijah. As I said before, he just experienced a national revival. He'd been on top of Mount Carmel, and he completely obliterated the false religion that was prevalent in those days. And God had shown himself, God had revealed himself to the people, and there's a mountaintop experience. And many people were shouting, "The Lord is God! The Lord is God!" in verse 39 and chapter 18. But you know, where it went from a spiritual high, that mountaintop experience you have with God, it went from that to spiritual depression. And it was caused through a woman. Sorry, ladies. But it was caused through Jezebel. And he ran away. Can you imagine that? "I've had enough. I want to die." And he travels 40 days and 40 nights to get away from it all. Have you never felt like that? You want to get away from things, get away from it all. Things get on top of you and you want to just run away. I'm so pleased that the Bible is honest about its characters in the Bible. The Psalms are so honest. The psalmist was depressed at times. My God, why have you forsaken me? And so on. "I've had enough. I want to die." Well, it was 200 miles from Mount Horeb. I looked it up on Google. You look it up as well. From Beersheba to Mount Horeb is 200 miles. Well, eventually God catches up with him. You know, wherever we are in our walk with God, we are never out of the reach of God. He's with us even when we don't realize it, when we don't think that he's there. And then there's that question, that God question. I love God's question, but they're rather searching, aren't they? "What are you doing here, Elijah?" If God knew full well what Elijah was doing there. He knew that he was running away. But then it all spills out. "Poor Elijah, poor me. I'm the only one left. Poor me, poor me, poor me. Aye, 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 aye." And then God says something quite significant. He didn't say to him, there, "Never mind, don't worry." Do you know what God said? He just traveled 200 miles. God said, "Go back the way you came. Go back the way you came." Now, why I think that's so significant is with our walk with God. If we're away from God and we're prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love, that hymn that says that. We all find that, don't we? If we find that we're away from God this morning, go back the way we came, through the cross. It's the only way back to God. There's a way back to God. From the dark paths of sin, there's a door that's open, and we may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus Go back the way you came, Elijah. Go out and finish with Elijah. And Elijah went back and fulfilled the mission that God had given him to do. God hadn't given up on Elijah, even though Elijah might have given up on God. Now, our second little bit of traveling is dear old Nehemiah. I love this story. See, Nehemiah was a happy-go-lucky chap. He was always happy. Have you ever met those people? No, I haven't either. And he was never sad. But this day in the king's presence, he was sad. Now, with Nehemiah's job, I mean, he had to be happy, didn't he? He was the king's cupbearer, so he was tasting all the wine before the king drank it, so that the king wouldn't get poisoned. So, you know, with a job like that, who wouldn't be happy? 7 days a week? Anyway, Nehemiah was sad in the king's presence, and the king said, "What's up?" And then the story comes out. You see, Jerusalem was a city close to Nehemiah's heart, because they'd been exiled from it. And the exiles were returning to it, but it was in a sorry state. The walls of Jerusalem were broken down, in a state of disrepair, and Nehemiah wanted to go back on a mission to repair the walls of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is such a fascinating study. If you look at it's mentioned hundreds of times in the scriptures. It's a city that is close to God's heart. It's described in the Bible as a city that God loves. And it's a city where Jesus went every year with his parents to celebrate Passover. Every year he'd go to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. We read about one of those incidents when he's 12 years old, don't we? In Luke chapter 2. Jerusalem is where Jesus was sentenced to death. Jerusalem is where Jesus was buried in the garden tomb. Jerusalem is where Jesus rose from the dead. Jerusalem is where he ascended to heaven. Jerusalem is where the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples. Jerusalem is where Jesus will return, the Mount of Olives. But when Nehemiah got there, God was with him. Now, from Susa, where Nehemiah was, in Persia, or modern-day Iran, from Susa to Jerusalem was just a mere 900 miles. 900 miles. Now, there's a clue in this story. I don't think he walked, because the cavalry were there. I reckon the king lent him a horse. But even so, 900 miles on horseback. I mean, yeah, whatever, yeah. 900 miles. So it's a 200-mile trip for Elijah, 900 miles for Nehemiah. And God bless Nehemiah. Read the rest of the story of Nehemiah, how the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt with opposition. Opposition, they met opposition from some Arabs that were living there, and there's nothing new under the sun, is there? Still true today, there's opposition to Jerusalem being the capital of Israel, and there's a lot of opposition to it. Nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes says. So we go for a 200-mile trip, 900-mile trip, and then we come to one of my favourite passages in Scripture, Luke 24. Now this isn't quite such a long trip. But we'll have a little look at it, shall we? I've got to say this is my favourite passage, because there's a verse in this passage which was a verse given to us when Ruth and I got married 50-something years ago. So I've got to say this is my favourite passage, haven't I? And the verse given to us on our wedding day was this: Jesus himself came up and walked with them. And that's always been a precious verse to Ruth and I. Jesus himself came up and walked with them. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, two of them. Well, you know the name of one of them, Cleopas. And somebody once said, dear lady that we knew, Cleopas, the other one must have been Cleopas' wife. Because when they got to their home, there was a meal on the table for him off straight away. So it must have been his wife getting a meal. I reckon that's pretty accurate. Anyway, two disciples. They were sad. They were depressed. They had spiritual depression. All their hopes had been dashed. The one that they put their trust in, who they thought was going to be the Messiah, who was going to rescue Israel, he'd been crucified. The disciples have been scattered. Their whole world had been shattered. They'd given up 3 years of their life to follow this guy. And it's ended in disaster. Their leader and Messiah dead. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And it's one of these questions again. You know what he said? He said, what are you talking about? What are you so sad? Jesus knew exactly what they were talking about. He knew exactly what they were saying. But he asked the question. See, God is a God of communication. And I think we have to be honest with God how we're feeling. You know, in our prayers. We can't hide anything, can we, from God? So, and we can't kid him off. We can't do anything. He knows how we're feeling. But he asked the question so that we tell him, what are you two talking about? Then the tale of woe comes out in verses 18 to 23. You're the only visitor of Jerusalem, do not know things that happen in these days about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful word indeed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers had him to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. And we'd hope he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. What is more, it's the third day since all this has taken place. They were depressed. They were depressed. But then, if there's a Bible study, I'd love to have been at. It was this Bible study along the Emmaus Road. Jesus himself opened the scriptures and talked about himself from all the prophets and Moses, things concerning himself. Never, ever put the Old Testament prophets, put the Old Testament into the second category, the New Testament. They are equal. Never, say that the Old Testament is just a dry history, but God's finished with it, is no new. No. Jesus himself, he only had the Old Testament to draw from. He valued the Word of God, and we should value the whole book, the Old Testament, as well as the New. What a Bible study that was. He opened up in the scriptures, things concerning himself. And then he revealed himself to them, the breaking of bread. Breaking the bread. It's a typical meal in Israel. It's not what we're going to do in a minute. It's a meal, a breaking of bread. And the first time I realised that was when I was in Israel. And we were having a Shabbat meal, and they passed bread around. This was in a hotel. It wasn't a religious meeting. It was just a Shabbat meal with secular Jews. And they passed bread around and broke it, took a bit each, and then they gave thanks. And I asked the Jewish guy next to me, he said, Phil, he said, we only give thanks when there's bread, when we break bread. So Jesus gave thanks and broke bread. So it all dovetails in. Anyway, he revealed himself to them. And what did Jesus say to them? He didn't say, oh, never mind. What did he say? Well, he didn't say this, but they went back the way they came. Immediately. They were so full of joy. He's alive! I reckon they ran back. That's 7 miles. So they just walked 7 miles. Jesus reveals himself and they run back another 7. Not bad going, eh? Not bad going. Anyway, our time is going. I'm sorry. So, God never gave up on Elijah. And Elijah went back and God used him. God blessed Nehemiah. He'd not given up, even though he was depressed by the state of Jerusalem. God didn't give up on the disciples. They went back to Jerusalem to fulfill what God wanted them to do. And because of those people, those disciples, we have the gospel. Because they broadcasted from Jerusalem and the and Samaria and the other to the uttermost parts of the earth as it is today. Go back to where you came from. What does God require of us to walk humbly with our God? Amen.